and now Evangelist David Shannon.
Who will open your Bibles to 1 Peter? 1 Peter, the third chapter. There's a word. A word that is probably in at least a fourth, if not half, of all of the holiday cards that you have received and probably even shipped out. You see, where I have gathered just three from my house, the word is in all three of these. It's a word that is mentioned over 400 times in the Bible. As a matter of fact, there's probably very few subjects that are mentioned and referred to more often, more frequently, than this word. The epistles speak of this subject 63 times. Let me give you the definition. Denoting the absence or end of strife. A state of untroubled, undisturbed well-being. Often it is the result of forgiveness. It is being free from all anxiety and care. Have you guessed that that word is peace? A very beautiful word. A word that, especially this time of the year, we use so frequently that perhaps we forget sometimes how important peace really is. This morning, as we think about just the epistles alone, let me remind you how important it is. Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, and Philippians, all of these books open and close with remarks about peace. Colossians opens with remarks about peace. 1 and 2 Thessalonians open and close with the subject of peace. 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Titus opens with the subject of peace. Hebrews, the 13th chapter, closes with the subject of peace. James teaches in the 2nd chapter the subject of peace. 1 Peter and 2 Peter both open and close with the subject of peace. 1 John is the only epistle that does not use the word peace, but yet all throughout the book it teaches on the subject of spiritual peace within oneself because we can know that we have salvation. Even the short epistles of 2 John, 3 John, and Jude, all three contain the word and the teaching of peace. You see, I suggest to you this morning that it is something that is very important. It's something that you and I must portray in our lives if we are to be pleasing to God. This morning, I hope that as we, many of you, have sent Christmas wishes and happy holiday seasons, and you have expressed in those cards wishes of peace, I hope that you mean it. I hope everyone here this morning loves peace. Can I add a statement that might seem harsh? It would be foolish for me to believe out of a number this large that everyone here does sincerely love peace. How can you say that, David? You see, peace is expensive. Peace costs. As a matter of fact, the only way to be one that loves peace is to be one that is willing to give in to their own desires and to allow others to have their way from time to time. The only way that peace can abide is oftentimes to look only to others. And always to God. You see, the truth is, peace is a very, very hard choice to make in life. As a matter of fact, not only this morning do I hope that you love peace, but I hope this morning that we all realize peace is not for cowards. You see, any coward can sit on the side and say, I don't choose to become involved. Any coward can sit on the side and say, I don't want to travel that road. But it is the one that loves peace that says, I'm willing to take the harder path. You see, the truth is, there's a Christian way to live in this world, a way that is Christ-like. The Christian way to live is the best way to live, but the way that is easier is to live ungodly. You see, the easiest way to live on this earth is to live as I want to live. This morning, if I love peace, I'll realize that I must be strong. I must be willing to do more and to go the second mile and even the third mile because I love peace. One has, I think, wisely stated that in a search for peace, you'll not find it on the first stump, but you may have to go deep into the forest. In a search for peace, you may not find it sitting on the shore, but you may have to swim deep into the ocean. In a search for peace, you'll not find it at the front gate, but you will have to search even to the back boundaries of the property. That is where you'll find peace. In 1 Peter, the third chapter, we see a very strong characteristic of peace that each one of us must possess if we love peace. 1 Peter 3:11. Let him eschew evil. Do good. Peter, what kind of good do you want us to do? Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good? Did you notice those words there that were words of action? Did you notice there in verse 11? Seek. Seek what? Seek peace. What else do I do to peace? I ensue it. It is very similar to a military term. Ensue literally means to seek after, to hunt for, and once it is found, to overtake it. In other words, possess it. And then did you notice there also in 13, we're to be followers of good. Well, the good that Peter is speaking about here is the good of seeking and ensuing peace. Seek, ensue, follow. I don't know how many, if hardly any of you here this morning have ever been coon hunting. But when I studied this lesson this week and I thought about those three descriptions of action there, I couldn't help but to think about coon hunting. Seeking. Pursuing, ensuing, following. You see, it's only common sense. If you want to be a successful coon hunter, you seek. You have to go after them. You have to overtake them. You see, if the coon's going north and you and your dog go south, you won't find that coon. Brethren, this morning, let us realize quite simply, the only way any of us ever find peace is that we search for it. We don't wait for peace to come our way and then grasp it. It doesn't happen that way. You see, peace is a decision that is not for cowards. Peace is for those that are strong. Peace is for those that go out in a pursuit for it in an effort to overcome and to possess it. In other words, whatever direction peace is, they are following in that direction. Jesus stated another very important characteristic of peace that we also must be aware of. He said quite simply in the 5th chapter of Matthew in verse 9, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." Now notice that. Blessed are the peacemakers. They're literally making something. It isn't something that happens by accident. It is planning. It is effort. It is willingness. It is a desire that usually is prayed about and sought after with all of our might. If you will, turn with me for just a moment to Romans, the 14th chapter. Romans, the 14th chapter, brings together both of these characteristics of peace. In Romans, the 14th chapter, what was our text for last Sunday morning? We see in verse 17 the few things that the kingdom of heaven is not. In verse 17, the kingdom of heaven is not meat and drink, and now we see three things that the kingdom of heaven is. But righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Now let me add here for just a moment. Let's make clear an assumption that this lesson is based upon. We're always seeking peace. and efforts that are right. You see, it would not be right for me this morning to lie to you and think in my mind, now the only reason I'm lying is because I want to create peace. You see, the truth is, when I've told that lie, I've created conflict in my own life. I've created a conflict between me and my God. And once you find out the truth, I've created conflict between us. So you see, it's never, never an issue of doing wrong to create peace. That within itself is wrong. We are to always strive for righteousness, for peace, and joy. Now notice what he says about these three things. In verse 18, "For he that is in these things serveth Christ, is acceptable to God, and approved of men." That's what peace and righteousness and joy will do for us. Be acceptable to God and to man. Now notice 19. "Let us therefore," there's that word, "follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another." You see, there is our following. There is our ensuing. Well, what do we follow? What do we ensue? We follow after the things which make for peace. Brethren, there's words in every relationship that you and I have. Whether it's a relationship with me and my God, you and your God, a relationship with your brothers and sisters in Christ, a relationship with your neighbors, a relationship with your physical families, a relationship with your employers, employees, fellow workers. Whatever relationship it is in life, there are words that you can say that will create peace, and there are words that will destroy peace. There are tones of your voice that will create peace, and there are tones of your voice that will destroy peace. There are attitudes that build peace, and there's attitudes such as sarcasm that destroys peace. There are actions that you and I can do to create peace, and there's actions that we can do to destroy peace. What you and I must always be doing is searching, seeking, pursuing the things, the words, the tones of voice, the attitudes, the actions that make peace. Why? That's acceptable to God and it's acceptable to man. I don't know of a better description than a righteous man that is a peacemaker. Think about it. A man that is in favor with God and a peacemaker among his people. There's not a better description. You can't say there's a better friend because that's the best friends to have. You can't say there's a better family member. That's the best family members to have. You can't say, well, there's a better employee. That's the best employees to have. Those that seek and search and long and create and make peace are the ones that you and I enjoy being around. And the ones we do not are those that create strife. This morning, how we should love peace. How we should long and search for peace, and how we should make a desperate effort to create or to make peace. But a final thing, our final point, and that is, please realize, peace must be a high, high priority in our lives. Why do we say that? Think with me, if you will, for a moment, back to Matthew, the 5th chapter, and verse 9. "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." Where is that verse found? That verse is found in the Beatitudes, is what we call those verses. And those are the verses that tell specifics about the characteristics of what Jesus Christ wants you and I to be. That's one reason why it should be a top priority. He says you should be a peacemaker when he describes the characteristic or the attitude that we should possess. But really what it creates is what should be the greatest priority for us. Once we become peacemakers, then we become the children of God. Have you ever noticed that there's characteristics that run through families? As a matter of fact, it's kind of humorous when you see a teenager and they tell you the things that they don't like about their parents. Usually they grow up with those same characteristics, don't they? You usually see the teenage boy grow up and he does those same things that he said he didn't like in his father and so forth. Well, brethren, that's what Jesus is saying here. There's a characteristic about God. That characteristic is that God is a peacemaker. And if we are going to be His child, we too must be peacemakers. I remember when I was in elementary school, as a matter of fact, it was first grade. Miss Wary was my first grade teacher. Now there's something now that I'm older and I look back that I find quite humorous about my report card. You see, many times over the 6 weeks of my first grade, Miss Wary, in writing the grades, there at the bottom in the comment section, she would usually write something like, David's a good student, but he talks too much. Now, the humorous thing about that is, Miss Wary knows my family very well. And I can't help but to believe that Miss Wary must have been thinking a little bit about in her mind, a smile on her face, and thought about Roy Shannon. And you see, anyone that knows Haynes Shannon in Murray County knows that Haynes Shannon is a talker. And anyone that knows Roy Shannon in Hickman County in Tennessee, they know that Roy Shannon is a talker. Brethren, I got it honest. It's a characteristic of the Shannons. I tell you this morning, there's characteristics that run in families. And in God's family, the characteristic of peace runs throughout every member of His family. Every member of His family. This morning, my great concern should be, am I viewed by others as a peacemaker? Because if I'm not, there is a very slight chance that I am in God's family. Another reason this should be a top priority is when we think about the first and the second command. The lawyer wanted to know, Jesus, which is the greatest? Well, the greatest, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. Now, brethren, you tie those things together, that is all of man. When man lives contrary to God's Word, you have a man that has inner conflict. A man that no longer has peace. A man that is no longer unified, but a man that is very confused. A man that feels like his life is not accomplishing what he should accomplish on this earth. And he's right. Why? There's not peace within that man. So the first commandment, yes, it deals with peace. And we'll talk more about that type of peace tonight. But then the second command, what we're studying today, love thy neighbor as thyself. Can you honestly say that if you don't strive for peace among your neighbors, among your fellow man, that you're loving them? No. You see, peace is directly related to the second commandment. The first and the second. That's why it should be such a high priority in our life. Another reason why it should be such a high priority is verses such as Romans 12:18. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Paul, why would you say, if it be possible? Oh, I feel certain this morning if we could ask Paul, why do you say, if it be possible? He'd probably drop his robe off of his shoulder and he'd say, you see those stripes? It's not always possible. You feel these lumps on my head where I was stoned? It's not always possible. You remember those times I was left for dead? It's not always possible. But he did. He did say, you try. You strive. You always give it your best to search, to find, and to make peace. How we need to love peace. Remember, Romans 3:17 teaches that sinners cannot find that peace. And Hebrews 12:14, listen very carefully and we close with this. Hebrews 12:14, follow peace. There's that word again, follow. It's for the strong, not the cowards. Follow peace with all men. And holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. no man shall see the Lord. Brethren, if a man cannot live with fellow Christians on this earth, do you think God is going to take him into heaven, into a place that's full of peace to live with them? No. He's going to put them in with all of the rest that can't live peacefully. The children of God live in peace. The children of God love peace, number one. The children of God realize it's only for the strong, only for those that want to go out and make it and seek it. The children of God realize that it's a high, high priority in our life. This morning, speaking to you and your relationship with God, are you in a peaceful relationship? Do you know that you obeyed the Word of God and you know that you're right with your fellow man? If not, now's the time to make peace in your life. If your relationship with others is not peaceful, now is the time to make peace. Become a child of God today. If you've never obeyed the Scripture and you've never turned away from sin, you've never confessed Jesus Christ as the Son of God, and you've never been baptized to wash away those sins, now is the time. Search for peace this morning. But you and you alone are the only ones that can create peace in the inner person. This morning, we want to help you if we can. But let it always be said of you, and let it always be said of the congregation of East Gaston. Those are people that can live together in peace. Show me a congregation of people that are peaceful, and I will show you a congregation of people that is full of peace makers. It doesn't happen by accident. It happens because we work it. If we can help you this morning, won't you come as we stand and as we sing?